Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun. It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
This is what Scraby believed. He believed the bizarre story of a rat and a rat-coon.
And Chris Ello.
In a wind-up, you bring your arms up, so your arms, my eyes would be looking at the target, but my arms would go...
He just yanked
I just
out
disconnected my microphone. Sorry about that.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
What's up, San Diego? 3:01 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby checking in from the Odyssey Empire. And what we found out last night was that the Patriots are still the big brother to the Buffalo Bills. an ugly football game, just the way Bill Belichick drew it up. They get the 14-10 win. This team remains in first place. They've now won seven straight games. We're going to get into that game yesterday. Mac Jones, I wish I would have said it on air. Apparently, I must have said it off air. But as we saw the weather yesterday, I said, oh, Mac Jones is going to throw the ball like seven times. Well,
you were way off.
I was way off. He threw it two times, to be exact. Three times,
two
to be
completions.
Exact. Two completions.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a lot about that game. Mark Ziegler will join us later in the hour to talk a little bit about San Diego State, that trip to Ann Arbor that resulted in a loss. We'll hear from Brady Hoke. Chris versus the Fan, a fantasy football update I think you will enjoy from my man Matthew Scraby. A big five. But Chris, before we get into last night's Monday night game, how's your day going today, my man?
My day is going pretty good. I do want to take a second. You know, I go around the county and officiate high school basketball games, and I wanted to take a second. I've had a couple of people come up to me after games, big fans of the show. So I wanted to acknowledge Jamie down at Olympian High School. Came up on Friday, said hi, said he listens to the show all the time.
Shout out to Jamie.
Shout out to Jamie and also Mark at Santana on Saturday. So thanks to those guys for coming up and saying hi. And I don't know if that helps me when people in the audience recognize who I am. I think sometimes it gives people extra ammunition,
oh, I'm sure,
you know,
it does,
to load up against me. But the reason I actually brought that up, I did want to thank those guys for coming over and saying hi for sure. But last night, I was at Point Loma High School, and I want to thank the nincompoop parent last night who practically reduced the girl who was running the scoreboard to tears.
Oh, no.
During our game. And I bring this up because, parents, you do not understand the kind of impact you can have in a quiet gymnasium, screaming and yelling at this poor girl who was working the scoreboard clock for the first time in her life. And, you know, before the game, my partner and I went over. We sat with her. Hey, do this, try to do that. You know, when we blow the whistle, stop the clock, you know, kind of giving her instructions. But the scoreboard clock, for somebody who's done it 100 times, is a pretty easy thing to do. But for somebody who's never done it before and is a high school student and is doing it for the first time and is nervous about trying to do a good job,
right.
because she's impacting the game, to have a parent sitting on the other side of the gym.
Nincompoop
parent bellowing constantly throughout the game last night. Start the clock. Stop the clock. Put the points on the board. That's another foul. Stop the clock. I mean, and we went over to this girl. I must have gone over to her 15 times during the game last night and said, hey, just relax.
Stay with
You're doing
it.
A
yeah.
great job. I finally tried to go with a little humor. I said, do you listen to your parents at home? She goes, no. I go, good. Well, don't listen to these parents then either. But it just was impossible. This guy was an absolute just nincompoop. And I hope that somebody from Point Loma High happens to be listening right now. Even better yet, I hope the guy himself is listening, because you embarrassed yourself and you reduced a poor young girl to tears. When you go to games, remember, these are high school kids.
Thank you.
Let them play. Let them have some fun. If you want to yell at me, officiating,
officials
fine.
Are fair game.
That's what I'm there for. But don't be yelling at a kid trying to keep the scoreboard.
I tell you what, you brought up the scoreboard, and it was one of our things we had to do when I was in school at Poway High.
Uh-huh.
And I remember running it for the first time. And when you brought it up for her and her first time, I had the same anxiety came over me.
Yeah,
because when you haven't run a board before. It's not easy.
There's no manual actually how to do it.
It's only people telling you what to do, and
that's
they don't
all.
Always get the directions right either. Scrape, you had your hand up. What were you going to say?
Uh-oh.
Oh, Lord.
Were you at the Point Loma game last night?
Did I mean to?
Was that you?
Before?
Was that you I heard bellowing out across the gymnasium?
I'm not going to say anything, actually. I'm not.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now I really need to hear what you're going to say.
Me too. Well, I was just going to say, why is there an unqualified person running
the
clock?
Oh, goodness.
Well, see,
you know what? Maybe he shouldn't have said anything.
I told you. But seriously, I mean.
It's a Monday night. It's during the holiday season.
Games first before varsity games?
Look, they have a lot of kids. Look, kids. No high school that I know of has an employed scoreboard operator.
They have volunteers.
Who just comes and does every game.
Now, well, some high school. She's not getting paid for this.
No.
Maybe they give them a few bucks if they have somebody who's regular. But most high schools, kind of just have to find somebody to run the scoreboard. And they usually have a regular person. I will say that.
Yeah, no doubt.
But sometimes the regular person can't make it. They have to work late. Whatever the case is, somebody has to fill in. This happens often. And it's tougher on the officials because you try to officiate the game while you're looking up at the scoreboard going, hey, you need to start the clock. You need to stop the clock. We need to reset the shot clock to 15 seconds. So it can get a little frustrating for everybody. But for somebody to be yelling and screaming across the gym last night, that kind of soured my entire evening. And, you know, I honestly spent most of the second half dreaming up a way to get the on-site administrator to kick that person out of the gym. But I thought, honestly, I would make the situation worse.
Yeah,
so I avoided doing – I stayed away from doing that. But it made for a long night for everybody, unfortunately.
That is unfortunate. And to the young lady that had to endure that last night, we hope you bounce back from it.
Yeah, keep your head up.
That was unnecessary.
She did a really good job overall. I mean, there was a couple of times she didn't start the clock. Okay, well, you know what? Have a feeling that parent might have an eraser on the end of his pencil as well, wherever it is that he works, if he's good enough to hold down a job.
I think we should find this parent.
Yeah, let's go search them out.
I want to ask them.
All right, let's get to this Monday night game yesterday, because that's... I think where the sports begins in today's show. And, Chris, I think for a large part of this season, many folks have felt like the Bills were the team to beat. They've they've fallen on some hard times here as of late.
And yeah, it kind of
coincides with the injury to White. You lose some of your better defenders because this defense was – and by the way, the defense wasn't bad last night. They, the offense just couldn't score more than the 10 points they scored. But you don't look now, all of a sudden, this Patriots team who – I am reluctant to believe in based on like the performance we saw last night from Mac Jones, and albeit it worked. But that seems to be they seem to be the team that is trending upwards above everybody else in the AFC at least.
Yeah, right now the Super Bowl berth in the AFC runs through New England, right? They're the top seed. They have a bye this week, so they get to rest up a little bit. But more than that, Tony, the AFC's berth in the Super Bowl this year runs through Bill Belichick now. He's got enough talent on his team to be where you're going to have to find a way to out-scheme him and out-coach him and figure out what he's doing. You're talking to a Dolphins fan, so how much love do I have for the Patriots? Not a whole lot. But admiration for Belichick, I have a ton of that. And what he did last night, I thought was just fabulous.
Yeah,
I thought it was an absolute game plan by Belichick. I mean, how many times just in the first quarter alone would have every other coach and team in the NFL abandoned what they were going to do and had to throw the ball? It was 3rd and 14, and he's still running a pitch play and just punting into the wind and letting his defense keep him in the game. Belichick's the only coach who could even think about getting away with that.
You know, oftentimes we talk about discipline in terms of the player. Bill Belichick has the best discipline as a coach in the history of football.
Bar none. And he put together a great game plan last night. And anybody who says that, you know, it was the weather or it was Josh Allen or it was the running game, that was Bill Belichick's win last night, and he knew it. They got the last incomplete pass, when's the last time you saw Bill Belichick jump up and down on the sidelines?
He
knew dang well that he went in there and stole a game last night, and he was really happy that he was able to accomplish
it. Let me tell you something. You know, he is meticulous about everything involving the game. So you know he knew what the weather was going to be like.
Sure.
He had that game plan. I mean, it's not a mistake that Mac Jones threw the ball 3 times yesterday. That was completely by design. And
he
as
was
you,
ordered, do not do, change to a passing play, no matter anything. If they have 11 guys on the line of scrimmage.
There were more. I mean, they did have times where there was 11 guys on the line, and they still could not stop the run. And I just think when it comes to Bill Belichick, he's a mastermind. You mentioned the constant 3rd and 14s and 3rd and 11s that they just kept running the ball. There might be some coaches that will get through the third quarter doing that. There might even be some coaches that will get through the third quarter, maybe 5-6 minutes into the fourth with that same. He stuck with it for the entire game.
And he put his defense out there in bad field position all night long and said, you guys have to win the game.
There it was. I think he recognized Buffalo has had a hard time running the ball, and he knew that they weren't going to be able to throw the ball with any effectiveness based on what the weather was, based on that is their strongest part of their defense, is the secondary for New England. So it was a strength for them. And you can't help but to look at that win and think Bill Belichick's fingerprints, DNA, whatever you want to call it, is all over it.
All over that game last night. The only person who didn't seem to recognize it was Sean McDermott, the coach of the Buffalo Bills, who said, stop giving Belichick all the credit in this game. By the way, Mr. McDermott, that's a really stupid thing to say when you're playing Belichick again in 3 weeks. And he's probably going to come up with about the same game plan, except next time he may throw the ball 45 times and beat you again.
If I'm McDermott there, this
you've
is where
got to
I,
just
this,
be quiet.
This is where I take the fine of not showing up, because I respect the fact that he's probably in that moment just so irritated that he just lost that football game.
Yeah.
That it was going to – any question that
– got outflanked, got outthought, got outprepared, got outcoached, got out everything.
There, I don't know that he could have really gave a different answer. I would have just took the fine and not shown up to the thing because that is – I think any coach who loses that game is probably feeling the exact same way. Unfortunately for him, he's got to play him one more time. And you know, as much as Bill says he doesn't pay attention to this stuff, You know, he absolutely pays attention.
Oh, he filed that away, and he's going to come up with some more wrinkles the next time they play.
Their best bet is that it's the weather is a whole lot better where Josh Allen can do what Josh Allen does.
Yeah, Josh Allen still amazed me last night, Tony, with some of the throws he made. The best throw he made all night was the one that bounced off the arms of Stephon Diggs in the end zone. He threw it about 55 yards down the left sideline. The wind blew it over the wrong shoulder of Diggs. But when he turned the other way and reached his arms out, the ball hit him in the arms. I couldn't believe Josh Allen made that throw. It was so perfect. But you're right.
I think Diggs deserved the credit for that one. That would mean turning over his shoulder.
No, he did, but I'm just saying it was still right on the money. Yeah. I mean, it was still right there adjustment.
He's got the type of arm strength that cuts through wind.
He is so good. But
I will say this about Josh Allen. I think right now he's currently going through what Patrick Mahomes was going through earlier in the season, where
maybe a little bit
you've got to taking the 3-4 yard play sometimes is the play
is the better play.
And I think what you've seen from at least from Patrick Mahomes in his last 3 or 4 games, although he hasn't necessarily lit it up, he's taken the 3-4 yard play and that's allowed drives to continue. I think that currently is what Josh Allen might be going through a little bit.
Yeah, well, this week Josh Allen gets to match up with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, so that'll be interesting. Yeah. And then he gets Belichick a couple weeks after that. But kneel at the godlike statue of Bill Belichick. I couldn't believe how good that game plan was last night, and it just the fact that it worked. It was, you know, obviously it could have backfired. Yeah. I mean, Buffalo could have driven down the field and gone up 14-0, and Belichick would have had to change things, but he never had to change things, so he never did. Yeah. And a lot of coaches would not, as you said, Tony, been able to stay with that game plan for an entire 60 minutes and trust his guys. And you also know that he sat in the room with the offensive linemen before this game, and he said, guys, I am giving you this game. I'm giving it to you. Go out and earn my trust and respect. I am putting this all on you guys.
This is exactly what offensive linemen
do. It.
This is what they live to do. They just want to run block
all day long.
They
want to run every play. Sure.
And so that's exactly what the Patriots did. They win the game 14-10. They sit atop the AFC, number one seed. And really, there doesn't look like a team at this point. We'll catch them. However, we've said this before, and then all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, it looks different. But we'll see how this one goes. We got to get to break. When we come back, Brady Hoke spoke at a press conference. He had some interesting things to say regarding the quarterback, regarding the bowl game that they ended up going. We're going to get into it all. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's some traffic.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, when I say it's a slow day in the world of sports, I'm talking slow.
That's slow, huh?
Top story on ESPN today, UConn sophomore basketball player Paige Beckers out 6 to 8 weeks with a leg fracture. Now, that's bad news for Paige Beckers and women's basketball, for sure. But I'm saying that's it. That's like the story in sports today. Yeah. There's not a whole lot else going on.
It's not typical that
women's basketball gets
NCAA
the headline.
Women's basketball would be the top story.
An injured
story.
Player.
But she is...
She's a good player.
She's really good.
She's fun
player.
To watch. Yeah. She's really good. So, yeah, that's the big story today. But we got a lot lined up for you on our program today between now and 7 o'clock. Gwynn and Chris Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Mr. Scraby, upset at the poor scoreboard girl last night at Point Loma High School. What did they have her in there for? Scraby.
Only
Scraby would twist
mind.
That around that way.
You know, if you're not capable of doing it.
And you know what, Chris? The whole time you were talking, I was looking at his face, and you could see him, like, twitching. Like
he was getting ready. Yeah, he's like, what are you upset about?
No, I actually do have some sympathy for her, because when I was younger, in, like, 5th through 8th grade, I would run the scoreboard for our games. And
it's nerve-wracking.
It's really nerve-wracking when someone's yelling at you, especially
I know one thing. If you had been at that game last night, you're the kind of guy that probably would have confronted
knowing Scraby 100%
bozo parent and told him to be quiet.
He might have got beat up, but he sure enough would have confronted
him. He would have confronted that guy.
No, I would be doing the beating up. I'll never swing first, but I will swing back if swung on.
That's the interesting take about this is that your first thought in here would have been, why is she doing the board? Had you been in the building, your first thought would have been, who is this?
Well, it's much easier to criticize from afar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're really good at that.
Yeah.
I do have sympathy for her, though, because that parent is a bad
He was out just, of line. Let me tell you.
I just think, so often in youth sports, parents are so tied up in it, even though they're not playing.
Yeah,
that they forget where they are. Right, 100%.
Yeah,
I think that happens a lot.
It's a high school basketball game. Relax. All right, this hour on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Pfizer. Come rain or shine, high winds or mild breezes, blue skies, gray. Hey, it's a great time to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19. This message brought to you by BioNTech and by Pfizer. All right, Aztec football, that was not much of a performance on Saturday. They know that. We know that. Utah State hammered the Aztecs to win the Mountain West Conference Championship 46-13. Brady Hoke facing the media today after the performance on Saturday. And as you might expect, Brady Hoke was not exactly thrilled by his team's performance.
Obviously, coming off a real crappy loss, and when you look at the football game, I don't know if we did anything right in either offense, defense, or kicking game. You know, we had two turnovers. We should have probably intercepted three balls, to be honest with you, when you go back and look at it. Third downs, we were 1 of 14 offensively. They were 50%. We had too many penalties. We had 9 penalties, 120 yards, 2 blocked punts, a drop punt. You know, and we as coaches, obviously it starts with us and doing a better job. And then secondly, you know, I thought I'll be real honest with you. I thought we had a great week. I thought we had great work on all the days that we could have. We couldn't practice some guys, so that was a little different. But that's, that goes, and there's no held out because of medical concerns. But as much as anything, there are no excuses. At the end of the day, we're disappointed. At the end of the day, though, I'm proud of this team. They've won 11 football games, and we want to win that 12th.
Well, they'll have a chance to win the 12th in the Frisco Bowl here in a couple of weeks. But going back to the game on Saturday, yeah, he touched on the fact that, look, there was 20 players out, and that's got to affect, your offense, your defense, your special teams. But I'm glad that he talked about how they just didn't do anything right, because that's really accurate, and it's a fair assessment of what happened.
Sometimes, in the aftermath of the loss like that, everybody has a tendency to look really deep into it. When you listen to Brady, it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
They were out-executed by Utah State. 1 of 14 on their side on third downs, 50% on Utah's side.
Yeah.
Too many nine penalties that turned into 130-something yards.
Oh, it was
at
awful.
That point, you're not going to win. I don't care who you're facing. If you're losing just in those two categories by that much,
yeah,
you're going to lose a lot. You're going to lose a football game.
Yeah, throw in two blocked punts and two turnovers and three dropped interceptions, and it turns into 46-13. But I think no matter what happened in that game on Saturday, the quarterback situation is something that has to be at least looked at. And that's not to pin anything on Jordan Brookshire. Heck, the kid came in and played an unbelievable game against Boise State and practically won them that game. He had some moments. Lucas Johnson had some moments this year, too. But overall, the Aztec quarterback play was not, I don't think, what they need to, be an 11-2 football team on a consistent basis. Here's Brady Hoke asked if he and the Aztecs need to rethink the quarterback situation a little bit.
Yeah, I do think this. I think, as we go through this program, and we go through, with this staff, looking at quarterbacks, it's been something that we've spent a lot of time with, and that we're going to continue, because we got to have a guy who has that ability from a standpoint. If you're not running the ball very well, then we got to be able to loosen people up with accuracy in the passing game.
Ding. Yeah, he hit that one on the money. That was right, Coach. All right, so those two things lead to this thing. And the Aztecs getting set, as I mentioned, to go to the Frisco Bowl. A pretty low-profile bowl game for a team that went 11-2. Brady Hoke was asked if that bothers him at all. And whether the whole college football system bothers him, in a sense, as somebody pointed out, if he had an 11-2 basketball team, he'd probably be going to the NCAA tournament. But instead, it's Texas San Antonio.
Yeah, as they go, the discussion with college football, where it's going to end, is it going to be a 12-team tournament, whatever. I love the fact, number one, with Cincinnati having an opportunity. I really, and I like their coach also. But I think, finally one of us have gotten that far. I would hope that down the line, and believe me, I don't know enough about the process and what they're all looking at, but it'd be great if 12 teams could get in.
12. They'd need more than that this year. But if 12 did get in, I would at least think it would give the Aztecs an opportunity heading into a season.
It also depends on how those 12 and what those 12 are.
Yeah. And if there was 12 this season, the game they played the other day may have had a whole lot more at stake than it did.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, you might have actually been thinking that you had an outside shot to get into the playoff with an impressive victory. And as I said, even though the Mountain West Conference Championship was at stake, there was really nothing further for the Aztecs, win or lose. All right, that's Brady Hoke wrapping things up on that Mountain West Conference Championship game. Thanks to Adam Klug and people for tracking that down for us. So we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll keep the San Diego State theme going. Mark Ziegler is going to join us, talk about the Aztec basketball team. They made their trip to Michigan this past weekend, and they are 5-3. We'll get some thoughts from Mark Ziegler on where they are and where they are going. They are home tomorrow night, by the way, to Cal State Fullerton. But we'll talk some more Aztecs when we come back. Still ahead, NFL. Another big night in the NBA last night. And tonight we got a Celtics-Lakers game. That's always something special. So we'll get into some basketball talk as well as the program continues. Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
3:38 on the clock. We're just cruising through this. Was it Tuesday? Yes, yeah, Tuesday.
I'm not sure.
Tuesday.
What do you ask me these tough questions for? That's what Scraby's here. He's supposed to know that stuff.
Yes, Tuesday afternoon, fresh off of pretty good. I mean, although the score was low, it was an entertaining Monday night football
game. The weather
game was
ugly. I didn't think the game was necessarily ugly.
No.
I mean, people want to see, you know, the ball in the air 50 times, but you know, football still at its core is about blocking and tackling, right?
Yep.
And Bill Belichick turned it into a game of that last night, and his team blocked and tackled better.
There's really no question about it. That's why they sit atop the division at this point. So we got Mark Ziegler coming up here shortly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thank you, Kelly. All right, joining us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline is Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union-Tribune. Mark, how are you? How was your trip to Ann Arbor?
Cold. I think it was like 75 when I left and 35 when I arrived. But, you know, you cover the Mountain West, get used to those temperature changes. So just it was snow without elevation. That was the only difference.
What did you learn in that matchup between Michigan and San Diego State? San Diego State, I thought, hung tough for as long as they could, and it just seemed like they just kind of ran out of gas there at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think we learned the value of Lamont Butler.
Yeah.
You know, it's early in his sophomore season, and, you know, I think he's been up and down a little bit, but I think you saw what he brings. I mean, Michigan did what anybody else would have done, and that's press Trey Pulliam, try to tire him out. And you know, when they got to that point in the second half where they made their run and the Aztecs had all those turnovers, couldn't even get the ball across half court. You just kept thinking, you know, that might not have happened with Lamont Butler. Because the one thing he does is, against a press, if he beats the initial guy, he just turns upfield and goes downhill. He's like a running back. And that's how you beat a press. You attack it. And I think Trey was just so worn down, and not his fault. He played 38 minutes, but that he, you know, even if he got through the press, he couldn't attack it and take advantage of it on the back end.
Mark, let's go back a little bit to going to Michigan and what this all meant for the for Brian Dutcher and the ghost of Steve Fisher. What was the reception like there? Because we all know what happened. I mean, they took the banners down at Michigan, and the whole thing happened many years ago. And I know Brian Dutcher said that, you know, to him it wasn't going back to a building. It was going back to see a bunch of people, and it looked like he got a warm welcome. Has everything finally been all forgotten back there?
You know, yes and no. It's a really good question, and I thought a lot about it when I was there. You know, he did see a lot of people, and he was really a popular guy, as was Coach Fisher. And everyone I talked to said, oh, my gosh, we loved him. Even from the guys, I met some guys in a sports bar, some old Michigan fans, and they said, oh, we love Frieder. We love, you know, Fisher. And it took us a while to get to Beeline and have a good program again. And there's some bitterness that they were, you know, that Fish was let go. And so, yeah, I think the people were genuinely happy to see him. But have they gotten over it? I don't think Michigan has gotten over it. I don't think, you know, they know what to do with this, because you've got, you know, you've got the Fab Five. You've got two trips to the back-to-back trips to the national championship game. You've got a team that changed basketball forever in many ways, not just the fact they were freshmen, but their style and their attitudes and what they wore and how they carried themselves. You know, that changed college basketball to what it is today, and they won't acknowledge it. And it's just, it's sort of a bizarre thing. I mean, I think Michigan kind of has its opinion of itself that's a little bit higher and mightier than maybe it should be. And it isn't allowing it to sort of recognize what that team was and its value to the community and to its legacy as an institution. And it's too bad, but it's definitely still there. I mean, it's hard to look up in Chrysler Center and see six Final Four banners and not see the two most important ones.
Yeah, it seems self-inflicted at this point. I think they do have a high idea of themselves, and it would be warranted if they acknowledged those 2 years that were significant for them. But they don't, and I think it shows in how they carried themselves. I got to ask you this, Mark, because you mentioned that Lamont Butler. You saw how the Aztecs really missed him. Adam Seiko replaced him in the starting lineup. Do you think that is a permanent move moving forward, or will Dutch look to find who's the best fit while Butler's out?
Well, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see more of Trey Pulliam playing 38 minutes. And it, you know, if you were to pick a month when he got hurt, if you had to say you're going to miss a key player for a month, this would be the month, because they're, you know, yes, the Michigan game was unfortunate, but there's only three other Division I games before the end of the month. And so I think that allows them to play Trey Pulliam as long as they possibly can in the game. There really isn't. I mean, they have to go to a walk-on to get to the next real point guard they have on the team. And so I think that's going to be the first, quickest fix. Adam Seiko will play some point guard, but he's not a point guard, and we all know that. And that will get him back in his role of either coming off the bench or starting. I think he'll probably end up coming off the bench once Butler is fully healthy as in a shooting role. And a defensive role, and that's what he is. He's a 3-and-D guy, and allows him to be what he is when you have Butler out there. But, you know, the interesting thing is Butler and Pulliam are two different types of point guards, just in the way they play and the style. And so it's nice to have that sort of change of pace when you need it. And against a press, you want a guy like Butler, and they don't have that right now.
They do have Matt Bradley, and I think, you know, he came with a lot of expectations, Mark, and you know, I don't know that maybe put a little too much pressure on himself at the beginning, or was just trying to kind of find his way in a new system. But the one thing that I saw in the game against Michigan was I saw the Matt Bradley I kind of expected to see, a guy that could fill it up, a guy that was a dangerous threat on offense. Didn't necessarily look like that in the previous four or five games. Is he starting to get more comfortable, and are we starting to see the real Matt Bradley now?
Yeah, and that's a key point. I really thought there was a little bit of a breakthrough in that game, because remember, I mean, they're playing Michigan on the road against big-time, you know, Big Ten defenders, and they couldn't defend him. He had 14 points the first half, pretty much scored at will, and he probably should have tried to score more times. I mean, he's very conscious about being a good team player, coming in a new situation, and he's almost deferring too much. The other thing you can see a lot is he's what Dutch calls dancing with the ball. He's pounding the ball on the perimeter, looking for an opening, not really sure, well, should I take this shot? Should I not? Should I drive it? And thinking too much. And I think what we started to see in that game, we're still not anywhere close to what he's going to be in January and February, but we started to see him attack a little bit more and be a little bit more decisive quicker. And I went to practice yesterday, and he improved on that a little bit. And that's what they want to see. Yes, they want to see him in some ISOs, take his time, get his rhythm dribble, do what he feels is best. But there's a lot of times we can catch and just shoot it or catch and just go. And you're starting to see a little bit more of that. And that's when he gets really dangerous. And, you know, I keep saying it. He's going to have a 30-point game here, a 35-point game. And, you know, if it comes against a team like Michigan or St. Mary's, he's going to win the game for him. And they're kind of waiting for that. But remember, Malachi Flynn, I mean, he went six, seven games into his year, and he had the luxury of having to sit out and be in the system for a year as a redshirt. It still took him six or seven games to that second half against Iowa, where he really just went nuts and had, you know, 25, 28 points, and that was sort of his coming out party. So I think we're getting closer to seeing that for Matt Bradley. I think that first half was much closer to the Matt Bradley we're going to see in January, February, March.
Mark Ziegler joins us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline, San Diego Union Tribune. Mark, can you explain to us KenPom and this net rating? The net rating seemed like it was completely off. San Diego State came out with a 113. They're sixth in the Mountain West. Teams are ahead of them in the Mountain West, one being Wyoming. And then on the other side, you have the KenPom. The state moved up two spots to 43. Can you explain to us the difference and maybe also explain the discrepancy in the net rating?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just writing something about that in my preview for tomorrow's game. The problem with the net is the NCAA's quote-unquote sorting tool, the metrics they use to sort of put teams into quadrants, you know, quadrant 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then you rate good wins are quadrant 1 and okay wins are quadrant 2 and bad losses are in quadrant 3 and 4. And that's just how they do it. And it usually at the end of the season is fairly close to KenPom. But the problem is this time of year there's way too – the sample size is too small. Take a team like Wyoming. They were 12th on Monday. They've already moved up to 9th. I mean, they've played one team over 500 all year. They've played nobody. And yet, but they've won all their games. And so the computer sees them as being pretty good. What KenPom does at this time of year is KenPom already understands that the ratings would be all over the map. So what he does is he takes previous data from players, wherever they played, whether they're with this team or with the previous team, and incorporates that in the data to get a truer sense of where a team really is. So Matt Bradley, his stats aren't just from this year, but they're from previous years to give him more of a baseline, like they would in baseball. You have a larger sample size, a better picture of a type of player in a team. So that's why. And so KenPom gradually drops that off as the year goes on. And you get to the middle of January, and it's completely gone, and those are the true rankings, where the net starts off right now with 8 games. Some teams have played 4 games. And it's all over the map. And so that's why you see a 70-point discrepancy for San Diego State. And a team like Wyoming is, you know, 80, 90 points in the opposite direction, maybe even 100 points different than what they are in KenPom. But it'll all even out as the season goes on. I wouldn't pay hardly any attention to the net right now. End of the season, yes, but right now I'd look at KenPom to get a better picture of where teams really are.
Mark Ziegler talking some college hoops with us. San Diego State gets Cal State Fullerton tomorrow evening as they continue to prepare for conference play. Speaking of which, Mark, Mountain West, you mentioned Wyoming's 8-0, but hasn't really had a test yet. Colorado State's 9-0. How does their 9-0 look? How does Fresno State's 7-1 look? I guess in general, how does the rest of the conference, is it playing out kind of the way we thought, or has there been any surprises?
Well, there's been surprises in the wrong way. I mean, Boise and Nevada have both been disasters and lost some really bad games and basically taking them out of NCAA contention for at-large berth right now. There's a hope that they would be pretty good. UNLV is melting down as we speak. They just got whooped at USF and had a screaming in the locker room and a 45-minute meeting afterwards, and 3 starters were benched, and so they're kind of a disaster right now. But Colorado State has held true to form. Everyone thought they'd be good. They basically returned the entire team, and they've lived up to it. They beat Creighton. They beat St. Mary's pretty handily Those are their two marquee wins. The other seven aren't that impressive. Fresno really hasn't played anybody. They're going to go to USF and play, and that should be a pretty good test for them. But they really haven't. Their one loss was their only game on the road, I believe. And so hard to judge them. They also have everybody back, and so they're going to be ahead of these teams that have a lot of transfers, trying to put a lot of pieces together like San Diego State. Wyoming's been, you know, semi-impressive, but their best win is against Grand Canyon, so we don't know what they are yet. And it's going to be interesting when they get in the conference to see, because San Diego State's really been hardened. I mean, no one has done what they've done. They played at BYU. They played USC on a neutral. They played Georgetown on a neutral. They played Arizona State at home. Then they played at Michigan. They're going to be ready for the road, and they're going to be ready for the Mountain West. And that should be an advantage for them, as opposed to a team like Fresno State or Wyoming that really hasn't been tested yet. And then you get into conference tough games, what happens down the stretch in those games, and, you know, hostile crowds and that type of thing. San Diego State should be much more prepared. But right now, I think it's a one-bid league. I think it's Colorado State and everybody else. And unless somebody else can step up and get a marquee win here and not have any bad losses, that's where we're headed again. Even though the league is much improved and it's a good league, it's Colorado State and everybody else.
Mark, I got to ask you this before we let you go. It's not a basketball question. I know how much of a soccer guy you are. I saw you posted Alex Morgan could be coming here to San Diego to play for the Wave. What's your take on that move and how big it is to get somebody like that here as the expansion team rolls out for their first season?
You know, they've done a really good job getting players so far. The expansion draft's coming up here in a couple weeks or next week. And what they've done is they've moved with a couple teams to sort of trade not to pick in the expansion draft from their roster. They can pass on that pick in exchange for getting a player now. And that's kind of what the Alex Morgan deal is going to be. You know, look, you want to get a face of the franchise. You've got to sell tickets. You've got to get some buzz. She's going to bring buzz. She's one of the most popular players in the world. She's also 32, hasn't been a great club player. She's been a very good national team player. And so, you know, when are they going to get on the field? I don't know. But I think if you're an expansion franchise, you know, you don't really have a choice. You go and get the best, biggest names you can, and then you figure it out later. And with Alex Morgan, I think they've done that. And I think anything they get from her in the field is a bonus. But that'll help sell some tickets and drive some buzz about the team.
No doubt. Look forward to seeing that. Look forward to seeing this Aztec team start to pick it up and go in the right direction. Mark, as always, appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys.
Great stuff, Mark.
That was Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. I agree a lot with what Mark said in terms of Aztecs and them being ready. I don't know that they could have played a tougher non-conference schedule. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And considering a lot of those were neutral sites or on the road, they're well-tested at this point.
Yeah, it's a good thing. That should serve them well. But you've got to be well-tested, to compete in the Mountain West.
Nope,
because,
no,
I mean, you know, Bradley's a newcomer to this conference, right? I mean, they got transfers that haven't gone to Wyoming yet, played at 7,000 feet, you know, and gone up to Air Force and played an altitude, and Colorado State and played an altitude. So Utah State, I mean, New Mexico. The Mountain West presents so many great challenges.
Yeah.
And as Mark said, unfortunately, you know, the conference season might actually be a bit of a prelude as well, because if it's a one-bid league, then what does it come down to? It comes down to whoever wins the conference tournament.
That's
at
right.
The end.
That's right.
Right? So maybe that'll serve the Aztecs better this year, since this is a team that is still a work in progress.
The thing, I mean, really, especially now, it makes sense that this is a one bid league. If the Aztecs had, I think, fared a little bit better going into conference, you could argue that maybe at that point, because of their schedule, would be a two bid league. But
yeah,
you know, they've lost a couple tough ones, and it doesn't mean anything at this point. They're 5-3, but it does seem like Mountain West is resolved to having just one bid.
Don't have that
out.
Marquee win anywhere in the conference, according to Mark. And so without that, yeah, it's hard to get a second bid that way.
4 o'clock hour on the way. Chris versus the Fan. Plus, we got our biggest fan contest coming up, so you might want to keep your ears plugged in. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.